This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello there, and welcome to the first in a mini-series of podcasts that we are running for LGIM Talks under the topic of what does net zero mean to you? I'm Lindsay Bass, Head of UK Consultant Relations at LGIM, and I am joined as my co-host for the mini-series by Laura Brown, Head of Client Solutions.
Hello.
Hello. Now, over the last few months, the two of us, obviously amongst many of our colleagues, have found ourselves having a lot of conversations with clients and consultants about net zero. So clearly it is the topic du jour, but I kind of feel there's a surprising lack of clarity or consistency in many of those conversations. So we have decided to pull together some of the great and the good across asset owners and their advisors to compare and contrast views on just what net zero really means. So before we invite in our guest for today, we thought we'd share a quick catch up on what we've been seeing ourselves in this space. Now, Laura, what has been keeping you busy over the last couple of weeks?
In the net zero space, I guess what we've been seeing over the last several months now is actual sort of theory turning into reality. So it's really exciting being able to talk to clients about what we might actually do with their portfolios. I think when we talk to pension scheme trustees, that really helps in terms of it's not just a sort of theoretical slogan anymore. It actually translates into action, and it'll be really interesting to hear our guests' views on that as we go through today. Another piece I wanted to mention was I've just been reading on my wonderful relaxing weekend a book by Duncan Weldon, which is called 200 Years of Muddling Through. And it's a sort of economic history of the UK. And the thing that really came through to me from this book is in any period in history, everybody thinks that the sort of economic factors are the way they are. Nothing's going to change. We're really stuck in a certain framework. And as I went through and read about all these different phases and all the things that have changed, it made me feel, I guess, more optimistic than ever that, you know, there's a lot that can change and a lot that we can do as investors and asset owners and advisors to pension schemes to really support that change. So a feeling of optimism overall there, I think.
On my side, I think, as I mentioned, most of the conversations I've been having have definitely been geared towards net zero. But a lot of the conversations I've seen, or still a lot of the questions I've seen from consultants, has been around a lot of the detail, around a lot of the metrics, the arguments or the debates, should we say, around whether it's temperature alignment, whether it's science-based targets, whether source data should be MSCI or Sustainalytics, and so on and so forth. You know, certainly, as you say, when it comes to the practical application to clients, I feel that maybe we should think about elevating that conversation, which I guess is kind of why we thought about this podcast in and of itself, which is probably a good segue to introduce the man of the moment, which is our guest for today. Welcome, Tim Manuel, co-head of responsible investment at Aon. Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Laura. Thanks for letting me join you today.
Now, Tim, you have been at Aon for, barring what I can only assume was an accidental visit to Towers Watson for a year, you've been at Aon for over 20 years. Is that correct?
Yes. I first joined a predecessor to Aon in 2020. No, 2000. So it's been nearly 21 years.
To open, before we get into our nitty-gritty questions, we just thought I'd let you introduce yourself and your role, but also for a bit of fun, I'd love it if you could also tell me, how would you explain your job to an eight-year-old?
Okay, let's start with the formal bit first then. Yeah, so I think you've already said, my name's Tim Manuel, or Manuel, sometimes get called. I don't mind. I'm co-head of responsible investment at Aon. So I've had this role for just over 3 years now, actually approaching 4 years. It's changed a lot, even in just that time. You know, back then it was a real battle even to have the conversation. Now everyone wants to have every conversation with you all of the time. So, you know, the challenges have changed quite a lot through that time. Our work at Aon, what we think is important, what we should focus on, what's important to our clients, how to have the best conversations with them, and how to bring the best solutions to them. So I find myself sharing or being part of conversations with lots of our clients, talking about net zero along with a whole range of other responsible investment topics. In terms of how I'd explain it to an eight-year-old, I think at the core of it, people ask me for help in making difficult decisions. But it's really about, you know, what people can do with their money to help protect themselves in the future.
Moving on. to the nitty-gritty, we're going to be asking a set of questions to all of our guests, which will be consistent. And the first one is a nice easy one, particularly for Aon, because I know that you've just made an announcement in this regard with, in terms of, have you made a commitment to net zero?
The answer is yes. So we've made a, and this was a commitment that has been, you know, a long time in discussion, a long time in the works. I think as a business, well, we are quite cautious, prudent. I think we've got lots of actuaries amongst us, and so that's a bit of our kind of natural starting point. But we have made a commitment in relation to our UK investment business, and especially those clients who delegate a large part of their decisions to us. And what we've committed to is to align our decision making, align the way that we build portfolios with recognised net zero targets. So 50% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030 and targeting net zero emissions by 2050.
I guess one of the questions that I had, just by way of follow-up, is I recognise that in your announcement, those net zero targets are linked, if I am correct, to the delegated assets. It's about £23 billion. Pounds, which is a not insignificant sum of money. How are you thinking about trying to move the clients where you have less control, the advisory clients? What are your thoughts about how we get them all into this kind of same mindset?
We focused on the delegated clients, as we call them. And so that does include clients that have delegated to us fully, but also the default strategies within our DC solutions, so like the Aon Master Trust. I think we felt that was the best place to start, because that's where we have more responsibility for more parts of the decision making within the way that those assets are invested. And so I think one of the things with net zero is that there's no single answer that is the right answer, and to some extent it needs a focus on all the different levers that are available and try and pull all those levers in the right direction to try and deliver that outcome. Now there are a lot of clients that we work with on a more advisory basis, and sort of increasingly we're working with a number of those clients. I'd say it's still a minority in terms of helping them set their own net zero commitments, set their own objectives around net zero, and then helping them identify what that means in terms of the decisions that they need to make. I would say that at this stage, the encouragement really is around helping, or education, let's say, helping them understand what it means in practice, rather than pushing them to adopt something today. I think one thing that's really interesting in the market, obviously, you read our industry press and there's a new net zero commitment every day, isn't there? I think it's almost a bit of background noise, I'd say. What do they mean in practice and what will they actually achieve? I think there's one just really important step is to make public your commitment, i.e. say it out loud and tell people about it. So I think that's really, and actually it sort of serves two purposes. One, it puts you on the hook to an extent for the future, but it also helps engage. It also plays an important internal role within an organization, really just to focus people's effort and focus people's attention. I think that the real credibility in terms of net zero commitments are really going to come from what people do rather than what they say they'll do.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And this point around sort of setting a target is stage one, and then it's all about sort of following through on it. It does feel hugely important. One thing we've noticed with our pension scheme clients is that those with corporate sponsors who are very focused on net zero are actually, you know, much further ahead than others. So interesting in terms of that educational piece, that I think the work that we do with some of those clients actually pushes on our understanding of what it really means. I feel like we'll get pushed on by the companies and the pension schemes that understand this space. And in a way, that will enable us to give better support to those clients that aren't as aware of the issues. And maybe over time, then you kind of get that practical action more. And that does, in fact, lead on to the next question, which was, so, you know, where you have committed or where you are looking directly at what does it mean to be net zero in an investment portfolio, what practical action are you taking in terms of asset allocation, portfolio guidelines, manager selection? How does it all come together for you in terms of how you approach this?
A couple of weeks ago, we all enjoyed watching Radical do, didn't we? Win the US Open. I think what she's achieved is, and the way she's gone about it is a kind of good analogy for the pension fund industry. There was one thing that she kept on saying, which is all I'm going to do is focus on what I can control. Yeah, and I think there's a lot to learn from that in terms of thinking about net zero, right? Ours is a noisy industry, and always has been, in terms of the kind of stories that are out there. And I think responsible investment and net zeros kind of ramp that up exponentially. So I think there's a whole multitude of questions out there that we still don't have the answer for, and we're not likely to have the answer for quite some time. So I think, you know, that in some ways that reflects a bit of the approach that we're taking, i.e. what are the things that we can control, what are the things that we can have most influence over, and let's really start there. And so with that in mind, the steps that we're really going to focus on at the outset are, we sort of categorize them into three different areas: engagement, innovation, and insight. So I think engagement is probably the most important one there. So we, as investment consultants, we sit in a kind of intersection between the decision makers and the industry that delivers a lot of the solutions. So I think it's really important that we play that role to connect the industry and engage with all those partners, really to understand, get that best picture of the sort of best understanding that's out there today. Like you say, Laura, no one can really claim to have all the answers here. I think that engagement goes broader as well in terms of the various initiatives that are taking place out there in the industry at the moment, whether that's a lot of those being around better data, better frameworks, etc., and doing our part in terms of defining, or doing our best to define, and sort of sharing best practice and what that means. So there's a huge engagement piece, and I'd say of those three steps, that's more than half of I think what our focus will be.
I think that point about controlling the controllables is super important, because my perspective on attending a lot of meetings on this with clients is that idea of needing to get everyone comfortable with ambiguity, and that we don't know how this is going to look and exactly what's going to happen. So we're going to have to keep checking in along the way and sort of course correcting whatever we're doing. But it's better to start doing something, to take a step, not to let perfect be the enemy of good, and all those kind of nice statements. But I think it feels to me like that's one of the biggest roles of advisors, is to kind of hold people's hands and get them started. So in terms of when you're looking at portfolio managers in particular and the investment side, and you mentioned the data and giving transparency to this, what are you thinking in terms of measuring the performance of how asset managers are delivering on net zero in each individual portfolio? Is this going to turn into a conversation as important as measuring investment performance? How does it sit in the kind of discussions you expect to be having with clients on what their managers are doing?
When it comes to fund managers, I think what we really want to see is consistency and approach. And what I mean by that is a consistency from the top in terms of how broad direction and broad strategy is set, through to the way that, through to reporting, to the way that outcomes are measured. Yeah, and we want to see some consistent approach, well considered, well thought out, well articulated, that runs through the entirety of what a fund manager is doing. What I'd rather see is something more straightforward, but more consistent, that where you can see, deliberate outcomes arising from those objectives that have been set, or those high level principles that an asset manager is working to.
Do you have any particular top tips for, particularly when speaking to clients, when they're kind of bamboozled by all this data. Is there anything that you could advise them on, or any thoughts that you have there?
I do believe in the importance of having good data, or the benefits of having good data. And I do believe that we'll get better data as we get more disclosure. Right. And I also believe that a lot of the work in the industry around finding some consensus on frameworks will help with that disclosure. The sort of difficulty that I have is really that data in itself is still only a means to an end. Yeah, it's not, you know, on the way to the end is better analysis, but the end is about better decisions. Data won't ever make the decision for you. And I think there's this sort of interesting kind of dynamic going on in the industry at the moment, you know, centered around greenwashing and trying to tackle greenwashing. And, you know, I don't think that data or frameworks will ever be able to make a decision on our behalf about whether something is greenwashing or not. I mean, in a sense, our industry, since its beginning, has always had an issue with something washing. Right, which is essentially just saying, do I have the confidence that what this person is, or this person is saying they're going to do, is what they're actually capable of doing and will do? And I don't think box ticking has ever solved that problem. And what's my top tips for trustees? You know, be clear on what you're trying to achieve. You know, understand what is there to help support you in that decision, whether it's data or expertise. And, you know, just seek to make the best decision that you can today.
The next question, and one which I like, is around hot potatoes. I wondered, in your case, as you've just prepared that net zero commitment, I presume there's been quite a lot of conversation internally, as you've alluded to. What were the real hot potatoes, the thorny issues that got people excited or concerned and kind of caused debate?
One of the areas that's most difficult to tackle in almost all the conversations that I have about net zero, and this includes both conversations internally when we were working towards building this commitment, but also conversation with pension fund trustees, is, and this is going to this is probably going to sound a bit technical, but it's the distinction between financial considerations and non-financial considerations when making decisions. For as long as I've worked, been involved in this, you know, trustees have been so conditioned to this principle of fiduciary duty and how it's so centered on making decisions that are in the best financial interests of members. And I think net zero and net zero commitments do really push against that principle. So I think managing risk is the thing that I find easier, that I think is much easier to center around. And through those internal conversations, that's really where I think we've been able to make most progress. And I think is from a pension fund point of view and a trustee point of view, I think is still the priority associated with climate related matters, i.e. managing the risk associated with it. Yeah. And is a sort of key component of any net zero commitment. You know, all views are legitimate, and actually by exploring those views constructively, you can actually kind of uncover some surprising advocates.
So the final question was, and I feel a bit bad that it's a slightly negative question, but you know, it's that one that you get asked at the end of your presentation where we've all been having a happy time, and then one of the trustees will say, well, that sounds great, but what could go wrong? Yeah, from your perspective, what are we missing in the kind of net zero investment discussion? What could really go wrong and really hamper progress in this space?
I think it's really important that we all play our part. So I think it is important that investors understand, like pension funds, understand what they can do to play their small part in contributing to the solution. But I do sort of have a personal view that our kind of corporate ecosystem can only take us so far in tackling these challenges. And that the only way that we're really going to meet some of the pathways that have been plotted out for us in terms of carbon reduction to meet some of these temperature goals is through substantial government intervention. And I think that intervention will come at a cost. And that cost will, to some extent, be borne by investors and pension funds. And so I think from a pension, like I said earlier, from a pension fund point of view, you know, any policies around net zero and climate should emphasize mitigation of risks first.
It's really interesting what you say there, because I think the book I mentioned at the beginning, 200 Years of Muddling Through, is very much about the fact that government intervention and significant changes in policy are needed to change the world, you know, to change the outcome. And actually, in a way that would not have been conceived of by people at the time, you know, the boundaries can really be pushed by things happening in that area. So we can all play our sort of individual part, and the investment industry really is doing that at the moment, I think, in terms of people like you, Tim, putting it on the radar, you know, raising the banners in support of the topic. But at the end of the day, that all helps, you know, encourage the policy change. So it's kind of optimistic, but ultimately realistic that we can't do it on an individual basis. But yeah, lots to be optimistic about as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely an optimist. And I kind of completely get that the government policy is an essential part of that. I just don't ever want investors and decision makers in the investing world to use that as an excuse for inaction, because they go, well, actually, it's much more about that, and we don't make much difference, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we certainly all play a part at raising that topic of discussion through engagement, as you said, which was your kind of first pillar. So I think that brings us neatly to a close. So thank you so much, Tim, for joining us. Thank you to Laura for being my ever able co-host. And we hope you all enjoyed listening to it. Please do subscribe to LGM Talks wherever you get your podcast, and hopefully stay tuned for the next episodes.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions, and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, lgm.com.